a real pleasure.
Remembrance Day 2021, a little different again to those prior, with us not being able to travel as freely as usual. And you particularly concentrate on tours, don't you, when it comes to remembering those that have fought in battles around the world?
Yeah, it's been a tough couple of years to be stuck at home. The thing I enjoy more than anything else is getting out and walking the battlefields, and the fact that we had to commemorate the last couple of years, both Anzac and Remembrance Day from home, has been very difficult, not just for me, but there's lots of people that want to get out and walk the battlefields and pay their respects to their family members or just learn more about Australian history. So it's been a tough time, and I'm glad that as of next year we'll be back over there walking the ground.
Now, just on that, why do we have Remembrance Day, Matt, for those that might be asking the question to themselves quietly today?
Yeah, it's a good question, because I think over the last 100 or so years it's gotten a little bit blurry where it actually started. The way it started, it was originally Armistice Day, which commemorated the end of the First World War. So the armistice that ended that war came into effect at 11 a.m. on the 11th of November 1918. So the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month was when the First World War ended. And so from that moment onwards, that day became Armistice Day, when that victory in the First World War was celebrated. But obviously, since then, we've had many more conflicts, and so the scope of the day has grown to include remembrance of men and women from all wars that we've fought in. And so today it's known as Remembrance Day, and at 11 a.m, that moment the guns fell silent, we stop and remember what people have done for us over the century.
Where did your interest in this subject come from?
Oh, mate, that's a great question. It's really just always been my thing. I've just been really fascinated with Australians and what they've done during wartime and with our Anzac history. So it's what I always say is it started as an interest that grew into a passion and then became an obsession. So I really just had to learn more about it. And I was working as a journalist, which gave me the opportunity to visit the battlefields from time to time, and I just loved it. It just revealed new elements of the story that you could never get from a history book or from watching a documentary. So I fell in love with walking the ground and learning more about these men and women and telling their stories. And now I've been really fortunate to turn that into a career. And I absolutely love it. It's been torture the last 2 years, not being able to get over there and walk that ground.
Now, I don't think we really get to appreciate how important this really is. Now, I say this because a few years ago I went to Europe and walked a number of battlefields and cemeteries as well. This is big stuff in Europe, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, we've been lucky here in Australia that we don't have this understanding of bloodshed on our home soil. It's very rarely touched Australia. But in parts of France where these huge battles were fought, there were battles stretching back through the centuries. The ground is just absolutely soaked in blood from all the battles that have occurred in that spot. And then, of course, the First World War absolutely ravaged northern France. And then the Second World War came through and ravaged the area again. So the people of many parts of Europe know all about suffering during wartime in a way that we struggle to understand here in Australia. And, I mean, that's a good thing for us. It's fortunate that we haven't had to live through that, but you really get an understanding for it, as you say, when you walk the ground and speak to those local people and just find out what their ancestors went through on that ground where they now live.
There was a bloke on this radio station this morning, and he did a similar thing to me. He went to find the grave of his great uncle. We did the same, but managed to find it at Peronne in France. And you feel it, don't you? You can actually feel the sadness.
Oh, absolutely. The cemeteries, as you say, are just one of the greatest connections with this story, because we think about the First World War, 61,000 Australians were killed during that war. It's just an unbelievable number. And none of them were brought home. So those men still lie in cemeteries all across Europe. And we can't connect with them in any meaningful way unless we go and stand in front of their graves and read the inscriptions from their families. And the thing we also have to remember is a century ago, there wasn't really much opportunity for people to come all the way from Australia to Europe. It was just too expensive and too time-consuming. So most families never got to visit those graves of their fallen sons. So in many ways, when we go there today, we're completing that pilgrimage for them that the families were never able to do. So it's an incredibly emotional experience. It's a really wonderful experience. You feel very proud as an Australian, and it's just something that everyone should do.
Yeah, and that's, you know, acknowledging the gravestones that are marked. There are thousands that aren't as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Probably about, between a quarter and a half of the men that were killed have no known grave. So they either their bodies were either completely destroyed and so there was nothing left to bury, or indeed many of them still lie beneath the fields today, or for the majority of them they do have a grave, but we just don't know which soldier lies in which grave. So they're buried in a grave that just says "known unto God" on the headstone. So again, you think about these families, they sent their sons away, they received a telegram saying he was never coming home, and there's not even a grave to go and remember his, you know, remember his name at. There's a name on a memorial, but there's no grave to stand beside or lay flowers on. So it's incredibly moving, these experiences, and it's why walking the ground is so special.
Yeah, for those that are considering travelling next year, you're obviously hopping back on a plane by the sound of things to continue Matt McLaughlin Battlefield Tours. Where will you be going? Have you mapped out where you want to go?
Yeah, we've got some great tours coming up. I'm leading a tour personally in September next year to France and Belgium. That's one of our most popular destinations, but also a lot of people are trekking Kokoda now. They're getting out, going to Kokoda. We also do non-trekking tours of Kokoda. We fly in by aircraft. Gallipoli is always popular. Vietnam, really anywhere Australian sport, we're going to be visiting in 2022. So it's just really wonderful that we can take people back again. There's been a lot of people desperate to get back to the battlefields, and we're looking forward to taking them over there.
All right. Where can we find you online, mate, for anybody interested today?
The website is battlefields.com.au.
Matt McLaughlin, really appreciate you taking your time today to explain the importance of Remembrance Day, and we'll probably do it again in 12 months from now. Thank you.
Thanks for your time.